Let's read in the book of Acts, please, in chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25 for our beginning verse. Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight. So there's the first expression I want to underline in your mind. And at midnight. So there's going to be three of them. I want them to be fastened in your mind at the end of the meeting. So I'm going to say it again. And at midnight. So we can picture the clock and the hands are both lined up at the 12. It's midnight. All right, that's when this took place. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So do you see the scene? The two hands are lined up at the top of the clock, if they had analog clocks. And it's midnight. And there's prisoners that are Christians and they're gospel preachers. And they've been preaching and no one wants to hear anymore. And they can't sleep. So now they begin to sing. And they pray. And they sing. And they sing. And they pray. And there's a jailer. And he's asleep. You see the scene? And now it's midnight. But suddenly, someone else steps into that place. And he speaks. And he's speaking to one man. You know who it is? It's God. He did something only God could do. And everyone knew it was God. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loose. So it did a very interesting thing, opened the doors and loosened the stocks that their feet, hands and feet were in. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing. You know, lots of people suppose things that are not true, and he did too. You might be supposing things, but it's not necessarily true if you're just supposing it. But the apostles here, they gave them truth. The preachers called on truth, on the Bible. So they were supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Just one question. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved, and thy house." Then notice verse 32, because we often pass this over. It didn't stop with that one expression. Sometimes Christians' children think, well, I know that. I know how he was saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and that's how everybody's saved. Well, they say it just about as fast as that. But they didn't stop there. That was a summation of what they said. They said that all right, and it's a wonderful statement, and it's true from the Bible. But it says in verse 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them." Now here's the second expression I want you to take home with you. The same hour. The same hour. So the first expression was at midnight. Now we have the same hour of the night. And washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his baptized. And when he brought them, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. And this is what happened the same hour as well. This is all part of the same hour. And rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And now the third reference to time that I want you to remember is this. And when it was day. So you get that? The hands are lined up at the top of the clock at midnight. Then as the long hand winds its way around, basically they're just saying, basically for an hour, there are events of an hour that changed everything. And then there was the next day when the sun came up and everything was different. Everything was a new day. 1 hour that changed everything. Do you know that you could have an hour like that? You say, well, I don't think I'm at the point where this man is. I'm not trembling. I'm not concerned like this man was. I'm trying to be concerned like this man. But I'm just not there yet. I've tried to fit myself into this. But are you conscious of this? That as we look at this passage, at midnight there was something that took place. And as simply as we can put it, we've said it, God spoke to one person. And in the course of an hour, the dealings of God brought this man to the full acknowledgement of repentance that God was right. And he needed to be justified in the sight of God that we've been hearing about. The man that we were hearing about, that's what happened to him. It came to 1 hour, if you will. Just one point in time when he came to the temple. How many times has he been there? We don't know. But this day as he comes, he says, I am not leaving this house of God. I'm not walking away from this sacrifice today as I have done at other times. This day is different. It came down to an hour, just to a point in time when God speaks. And so that's what happened in that hour. What is so specific about at midnight and the same hour? What happened in the course of this hour that changed everything? This is what happened. One man, the man we're talking about, faced the most important question that he would ever face in life. He had faced a lot of questions. This is in Philippi, and we were hearing on the weekend, and the brethren were right. Philippi was a colony of Rome, and it was kind of a bit of a retirement colony. And there, as some of the soldiers that had been away to war and other civil officials, that they would come here to retire. And more than likely, this was a man that knew what it was to go away to war, likely had served the Romans as a warrior, a gladiator, but that's the picture. And he was likely good enough, and God was kind to him. And somehow this man stayed alive through all of the battles he had been through. And likely now he's too old to go out, or he's been wounded, or something has happened, and the best part of his life is now behind him. He's no spring chicken. And he comes back to Philippi, and more than likely he's given a retirement job at the local jail. And that's where he is when this most important question of his life in 1 hour was faced. He's at work. You say, could you get saved at work? This man did. He got saved at work when everything was going wrong. He thought this was the last day in the job. He thought, you would think he'd be thinking, now, where can I get employment? This is all gone. I've messed up here. But he wasn't worrying about work. He wasn't worrying about, he had a family. There may have been household issues. There may have been all kinds of things that could have been on his mind. But the most important question that anyone will ever face, he faced. in 1 hour. What was it? What must I do to be saved? That's what that man was facing. Is there any justification for me? Is there any mercy for me? Because God was speaking to him and he understood that I am a sinner in the sight of God. And suddenly this man understands all of his life may well have flashed before him, and all he could see was his sins and the way he looked to the sight of God. And one question became apparent and most important. What must I do to be saved? Oh, there are other variations of that question you can ask, you know. It might even sound similar. One day the Lord Jesus, he was faced with a question more than once, a variation of this question. You come to Mark chapter 10. And as you go down through the chapter, I think it's around verse 26, you'll find the disciples asked a question of the Lord Jesus. And they said, well, who can be saved? Who then can be saved? And maybe they're looking around and they're looking at someone else, a man that had just approached the Lord Jesus, and he wasn't at this kind of an hour in his life. He was like the other man who was concerned with all the good things in him and didn't think he needed a sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus spoke to them and said that with such difficulty, those that are trusting in riches and in themselves to be saved. And they said, well, then who then can be saved? Who can be saved? Maybe you've asked that question. Who can be saved? Well, that's not quite this question now, but the Bible does answer that question. I think Mr. Thibodeau read to us on a previous night from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Who can be saved? It's God's will for all to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Does that mean all will be saved? No. All will not be saved. But who can be saved? All can be saved. Well, another man asked the Lord Jesus one day, and they said, well, I don't see that many flocking in here. I'm a little bit concerned about being singled out. Are there few that be saved? That's in Luke chapter 13 and verse 26. Are there few that be saved? And the Lord Jesus never really answered his question, although he did in another place. If you want to go find it, in Matthew chapter 7, listed on the chart, he did say there is few that will find life. There's few that will be saved compared to those who carry on in their sins and make the wrong choice. But the Lord Jesus turned that question right around on him and said, listen, my dear friend, you strive to enter in at the straight gate. You see that you are saved and do it now. Get God's salvation now. Are there few that be saved? That's another question. And does it matter what kind of a question? Maybe someone else asks, well, how can I be saved? That's what this man says. What must I do to be saved? And the Bible is full of answers to that question. Well, the Bible, in fact, in 1 Timothy 1:15, not only tells us who can be saved, but tells us how we can be saved. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You've got to accept it. It's not enough just to acknowledge it exists. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. Who can be saved? How can I be saved? Are there few that be saved? The Bible says that all could be saved. The Lord Jesus said, never mind whether it's few or many, you see that you are saved. Paul says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Again, Paul tells us something else and gives us light in this question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, he speaks about who can be saved. Well, we know that all could be saved. And we know that sinners are the ones that get saved. And people who take it seriously and personal, they're the ones that get saved. But Paul gives us another detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I think it's down around verse 21. You'd have to look for it for yourself. It just slips my mind right now. It says, it pleased God through the silliness, the foolishness of preaching, to save. And who is it? It's them that believe. It's them that trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who can be saved. It's sinners. It's sinners, individual people who are serious, who long to face the most important question. What must I do to be saved? And the answer is this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. So at midnight, here's a man thinking all was well. It was maybe the last thought in his mind. He was coasting through retirement, and all was well. Not a lot of concerns in his mind, certainly not this question. And within 1 hour, suddenly he came to grips with this. God is speaking to me, and I'm going out to meet God. And I have heard these men praying and preaching and singing about being saved, and I'm not saved. What must I do to be saved? Can I ask you tonight? You don't have to answer out loud, but before God, are you saved? You ever had a moment like this jailer, when in the course of an hour, everything changed? Wasn't a lifetime of small incremental changes? Wasn't a 12-step process? Wasn't a month where you decided to do better and knock off some old habits and gradually do better? No. When you said, I am not saved, and I want to be. You know, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that there is a lament that will go out too late. The harvest is past. The summer has ended. The time when it should have happened is gone. And we are not saved. And it will be too late for them. And this man realized midnight is late. And he wondered, is it too late? And everything changed. He's trembling. And he's falling down. He's humbled before God and even the preachers. And whatever fear he had of those that looked on, he lost it all. He didn't care who saw. He didn't care who heard. He said, it's my soul that needs to be saved. God is speaking to me. What must I do to be saved? I want to tell you, that's what we are hoping for in these meetings. That's what we're praying for. We've seen it happen over and over and over again, and yet we cannot make it happen. We can't. It's between the sinner and God when God speaks, and yet God doesn't force himself on him. He might send an earthquake, but it's when God speaks and the sinner responds in repentance. That's where this man was. At midnight, he was conscious. I'm the sinner. God is speaking, and I must be saved. What has to happen? Well, the answer is quite simple. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sacrifice. You look to him. You rest upon him. You put your faith in him. It all depends on him. It's what he did that satisfies God for me, for you, so that you can be saved. That's how a sinner can be saved. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't save us because he was a good man. The Lord Jesus didn't save us the same way he gave a blind man a sight that he could just wash, just kind of make mud and put it on his eyes and tell him to go wash, and by his word and his power, he could give him a sight. No, to save somebody is something intensely difficult, even for the Lord Jesus. You know what Peter says? One of the apostles of the Lord? He says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, if there is such difficulty for those that have been saved, if I could just apply it now. Listen, there are people in this meeting that are saved, but it wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus. It's not just his power, not just his word. He can save a sinner for one reason, and one reason alone. He shed his blood and he died for their sins. And that's why they said, look to the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus. He died. He shed his blood. He paid the price. He satisfied God. God, if you will, believes on him. And he's waiting for you like a poor publican who says, please be merciful to me. Look at the sacrifice instead of me. So that's what God wants you today to do. Right at this hour, look to Christ instead of yourself. At midnight, and that hour that took place, you know what happened before that hour was out? The man was rejoicing. It wasn't that suddenly he got a good feeling and it started up near the top and it passed down through. No, no. He heard this expression, believe in the Lord Jesus. And he said, is that all there is? It's what the Lord Jesus did. He died for me. And then there was a question maybe on his mind that we have been asked. It's not in the Bible, but I have heard this question time and time again. And I'm sure Brody has. And Mr. Burden has heard it more than any of us. How can I know I am saved? How can you know you're saved? Feeling? No. Well, do you know what they did? They preached unto him the word of the Lord. So the same message that they gave him, by which he was saved, they kept on telling him. They kept on showing him from the Bible. They turned him to verses. And that's how the man knew he was saved. And that's why as that hour, if you will, wound its way around. And we'll now say just for simplicity's sake that it's now 1 o'clock in the morning. The man is now rejoicing. Why? Because he rested on the Lord Jesus Christ and he had the word of the Lord to assure him. He had the Bible. That's why God has given us the Bible. He didn't give it to occupy a shelf in our house and to somehow hold near when we're afraid. I mean, it does all those things. But you know, there's one thing I appreciate about the Bible above everything else. If there ever comes a question in my life, and I've questioned this, I want to tell you, over my life, am I really saved? You know what I do? I don't go back to the experience because it was way too simple. I just rested on the fact that the Lord Jesus died for me, and I'd question myself, well, what had I to do with that? You know what? I come back to the Bible, and you know what the Bible tells me? It didn't depend on me and what I did or my experience. It depended then, and it depends now on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. How can I know I'm saved? And they preached unto him the word of the Lord. At midnight, earthquake from God. And he's trembling and he falls down and he's humbled and he's a sinner and he's afraid and he's about to die and he cries out facing the most important question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And he's rejoicing. And do you know what happened? He thought it was all about him. But know what happened? He turned to his wife and his children. He says, well, I want them to be saved too. And so they preached to them. And they got saved. Others that he loved turned to Christ the same way as he had. Because it wasn't just for him. It was for others. And when that clock rolled its course around and around to 6 o'clock in the morning, and the story finishes, and when it was day, or some versions will say when it was daylight, it was all a new day. Everything was changed. He was changed. And his old bosses came. And once he had been with them. But now he's not with them. Now he's a brother with the disciples. And then these preachers, they went and they went to see the brethren and Lydia before they left. And he's likely with them. Because now he wants to be with them. Because they believe the same as he did. That the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven and he is a sacrifice for me. You got the three expressions? It could happen to you tonight. Face the most important question in life at midnight. I don't mean you have to wait till midnight. It's the same hour. Whatever hour this impacts you right now in this meeting, that's what the Spirit of God is telling us. Don't put it off. It's the same hour. God says now is when you're saved. You don't put it off. You deal with it the same hour. While you're troubled, while you're convicted, while you're bothered. When you understand it's Christ that died, the same hour, believing in God with all his house. And you could have that new day when the sun never shone brighter and the birds never sang sweeter. The day when you trusted Christ and you woke up and it was still true. And you still knew, Jesus died for me, and therefore I'm saved. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the stories that the Lord Jesus told about. They're so rich and full. We think of this publican, can't wait to meet him in heaven, a simple story of conversion like our own. And there we thank thee that he was justified, he was changed in the sight of God. And we thank thee for this and ask thee that tonight there might be someone who will have this most important hour in their life and they'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that tomorrow and even tonight will be different, when there will be light and enjoyment and rejoicing. And so we would look to thee, asking the same blessing in Pope Road and in Burnaby, in these different places. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.